Masechta Beitza. Today we begin a new Masechta, very exciting. And we'll start, of course, with the introduction that the Kahati, the parish of the Kahati, explains. And it's quite a long introduction. We'll just do an abridged version of it to cover the scope of what we're going to be discussing throughout the Masechta. And we're going to be covering four primary concepts today, and then tomorrow begin the actual Mishnayos. So our Masechta is called Masechta Beitza. Beitza means an egg. And why egg? So one pshat is either because the first word in the Masechta is Beitza, so we chose that as the name, and we'll see in the Masechta it's not just any egg, it's a specific egg that'll really set the theme and the tone for the Masechta. And then others will call it a nickname, they'll call it Masechta Yom Tov, because it'll be discussing the various halachos that are relevant for the Chagim, for the Yom Tovim. So the first halacha that we're going to get into, the pasuk says in Shemos, "Kamalacha lo yasa behem." You can't do any work on Shabbos or any work on Yom Tov, right? Ach asher yochel chol nefesh hu levado yasa lechem. However, in contrast to Shabbos, you could do work that is lechol nefesh hu levado, meaning for ochel nefesh, for things that are going to be, you know, for eating. Right, we know that you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. You can't cook on Shabbos, but cooking is permitted on Yom Tov. That's the first thing you want to keep in mind, that generally work is prohibited on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but ochel nefesh, eating, is permitted. Work for eating, like cooking or baking, is actually permitted on Yom Tov when it's normally prohibited on Shabbos, okay? However, with that in mind, lo kam malacha hanas l'tzorach achila matarasi b'yom tov. Not every malacha, not every action that you do on Yom Tov is permitted, even though it's for achila, for eating. And the Hagdara, the guidelines are as follows. The Rambam gives the guidelines. He says like this. Number one, any work, okay, that you could have done erev Yom Tov, before Yom Tov, and you would have no loss from it, there would be no hefset or chisaro, no loss, no financial loss, no loss at all if you did it on Erev Yom Tov, before Yom Tov. So then the Chachamim prohibited you to do it on Yom Tov, right? Even though it's for purposes of eating, right? Why did they prohibit it? We just said it's permitted. The rabbis prohibited it on a rabbinic level, meaning on a Torah level, it'd be fine. But on a rabbinic level, the rabbis prohibited it, lest one come to get caught up in these malachos, these works throughout Yom Tov, and he'll lose the whole, you know, joy, the simcha of Yom Tov, and his whole Yom Tov will just be working, even though it's for food. So any work that's for food that could have been done before Yom Tov, and you didn't do it before Yom Tov, then you can't do it on Yom Tov. That's going to be the general rule. And because of this reason, they actually said that, you know, you're allowed to carry, this is the second concept, we're going to just, you know, streamline right into the second concept. Carrying, assuming there's no Erev up, carrying is prohibited on Shabbos. But on Yom Tov, it's permitted. Why is it permitted on Yom Tov? Because we don't want you to have any lack of joy on Yom Tov. We don't want your hands to be tied on Yom Tov. Yom Tov is a special mitzvah to be happy. And carrying is not like a real work. It's just going from one place to the next. So carrying is always going to be permitted on Yom Tov, whether you could have carried before Yom Tov or not. That doesn't matter. Carrying will always be permitted on Yom Tov, whereby on Shabbos it's prohibited. That's the second concept that we're learning. However, things that are related to the food, that's going to depend, right? Going back to the first concept. So let's give some examples. Harvesting, threshing, winnowing, selecting, grinding, sifting, all these things, you can't do them on Yom Tov because you could have done them before Yom Tov. And once you're doing them on Yom Tov, you know, it's going to distract from the joy of Yom Tov. You won't have the joy of Yom Tov. And in addition, there's no loss, right? You're not losing anything if you do it before Yom Tov. So you got to do it before Yom Tov. However, here's the big however. Lushing, kneading, oven baking, slaughtering, cooking, those things, if you did it before Yom Tov, there is a loss. What's the loss? The food won't be as fresh. The taste won't be so, you know, so hot and delicious. So, right, bed break today is not the same as bed break yesterday. So the truth is that these kind of things, or shechting, slaughtering an animal today, is not the same as slaughtering an animal yesterday. So these kind of actions are actually permitted on Yom Tov because there would be a loss. I can't do it before Yom Tov. It's not going to be as tasteful. It's not going to be as geschmack. So things like these examples you could do on Yom Tov because
there would be a loss had you done it before Yom Tov. But things like harvesting, right, or winnowing, that you could have done before Yom Tov, and you're not losing anything. So those actions are prohibited to do it on Yom Tov, even for eating, because you could have done it before Yom Tov without any loss. But acts like baking, or slaughtering, right, or cooking, where if I did it on Erev Yom Tov, there would be a loss, because the food wouldn't taste as geschmack, so therefore I could do it on Yom Tov, even if I had time before Yom Tov, because of the fact that there'd be a loss there. So that's an important point to understand, and that's tied in to concept number one. Okay? And throughout the Masechta, we're going to discuss which actions for cooking on Yom Tov are permitted and which are prohibited. But this is the general rule that we're learning right here in the introduction. If you could have done it before Yom Tov and there's no loss, then do it before Yom Tov. But if there's going to be a loss, even if you could do it before Yom Tov, you don't have to, and then you could do it on Yom Tov, as long as, of course, it's for ochel nefesh, for eating purposes. So that's two concepts. Number one, you could cook on Yom Tov, whereby you can't cook on Shabbos, provided the criteria that we just mentioned. Number two, you could carry on Yom Tov, whereby you can't carry on Shabbos, because we want you to have joy, simchas of Yom Tov, and carrying is not like an actual work, it's not going to distract you from the Yom Tov. So whether you could have carried it before Yom Tov or not, that's always be permitted on Yom Tov to enhance your simcha, your joy of Yom Tov, whereby on Shabbos it's prohibited to carry on Shabbos. Now we're going to discuss a third concept. Our Masechta is going to be discussing also that there are foods that would be prohibited to eat on Yom Tov because of mukza, right? Because the pasuk says, "V'haya b'yom ha-shishi," it should be on the sixth day. "V'yichinu es ha-shayivu," you should prepare that which you're going to have for the Yom Tov, for the Shabbos, in advance. Meaning, there's a mitzvah to prepare on Shabbos before Shabbos and Yom Tov before Yom Tov. So what does this mean? Muktzah means set aside, right? Something is set aside not for Shabbos or Yom Tov, or it's set aside for Shabbos and for Yom Tov. For example, most common example, a rock. A stone is muktzah. You can't move it on Shabbos or Yom Tov because it has no purpose. It's purposeless. So you can't move it on Shabbos or Yom Tov. But if before Shabbos or if before Yom Tov you say, I want this rock to be my doorstop, right? You designate it. Now that rock has purpose, and it's no longer muktzah on Shabbos or Yom Tov. That's the typical example of how muktzah will be applicable and prohibit or permit something on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Now with regard to food, you're going to see that muktzah kicks into play as well. So let's see. The Gemara says that you have to prepare from weekday to Shabbos, or from weekday to Yom Tov. And you cannot prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos, nor from Shabbos to Yom Tov. So if you have something, okay, that doesn't even have the mitzias, doesn't have the character traits of even being prepared, would be prohibited, right? Be prohibited to use it on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. For example, if you have fruit, you have peiros, you have fruit, that fell off a tree on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, that means when Shabbos and Yom Tov came in, it was still connected to the tree. No one's plucking it off, because you can't pluck it off on Shabbos or Yom Tov. That's prohibited, right? You can't pluck fruit. And then it falls off on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So it was never designated for Shabbos or Yom Tov. It was in a prohibited stage when Shabbos and Yom Tov came in. So that's actually called nolad. It was born. It was created on Shabbos or Yom Tov. It fell off on Shabbos or Yom Tov. And now technically you think it's in a permissible state because I'm no longer plucking it. But the Mishnah teaches us that no, it's prohibited. Why? Because it wasn't prepared in advance. During Shabbos or during Yom Tov, it was still connected, so you couldn't eat it. It fell off on Shabbos or Yom Tov, so it was nolad, it was like reborn. Even though technically it's on the ground, you cannot eat it because it was not prepared. We look at that as muktzah, and it's prohibited to eat it or to move it on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So that's the third concept, that generally, if you want to have an item to be used on Shabbos or Yom Tov, you have to prepare it in advance. All right, like the stone. Stones are muktzah. But if I prepare it in advance, I say I want this stone to be my doorstop, then it's permissible to use on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So too, you have something which is a food, even if it's Yom Tov. But because when Shabbos came in, it was connected to the tree, you can't pluck it on Shabbos or Yom Tov, so it's in a prohibited stage. Even if it falls off on Shabbos or Yom Tov, okay, and I stress Yom Tov, because normally actions to be for eating are permitted on Yom Tov. Here, nonetheless, it's prohibited because you didn't prepare properly and simply because you couldn't prepare. It was still attached to the tree. And therefore, it would be called nolad. It was reborn on Shabbos or Yom Tov and prohibited to be eaten or moved on Shabbos or Yom Tov. And then finally, the fourth concept would be as follows. It's going to be Erev Tavshilin. What is Erev Tavshilin? So if you have, for example, Yom Tov falls out on Erev Shabbos, right? So Yom Tov is on Friday, and then it goes straight into Shabbos. So how are you going to prepare your food on Shabbos if Friday is Yom Tov? What do you do? We know you cannot prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos, right? So, like it says, the Chachamim prohibited to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. You cannot prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Kedishal Yevel Avasha Gam Yom Tov L'chol, in order that you should not go ahead and start cooking from Yom Tov for a weekday, right? That was the Gezeirah, that was the enactment. So what do you do? How do you get your Shabbos food ready? So the Chachamim made a tekana called Erev Tavshilin, meaning that you could cook a small tavshil, a small, you know, cooked item. Most common examples, like an egg and like a piece of matzah. And you cook it before Yom Tov, okay? And then you say, this is for Shabbos. And what happens is now, is that we look at all the cooking now that you do on Yom Tov, that it can be done for Shabbos as well. Because we look at it, it's all interconnected. So generally, right, you could cook, of course, from a weekday to a Yom Tov, or from a weekday for a Shabbos. But you can't cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. If Yom Tov is on Friday and you want to have cholent on Shabbos, you can't put up a cholent on Yom Tov for Shabbos because you're preparing from Yom Tov to Shabbos. You're not allowed to do that. You cannot prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So what's the way out? The way out is Erev Tavshilin, is connecting, intermingling all the Tavshilin, all the cooked foods. And the way you do that is simple. You take some kind of cooked item, like I said, a cooked egg and a piece of matzah. Before Yom Tov even comes in, you cook these things and you set it aside and say, this is for Shabbos. So now what happens is, because you do this before Yom Tov even started, then any cooking you do on Yom Tov, and your intention is to cook it for Shabbos, we look at it as if it's tied to the first cook item, the egg and the matzah, or the egg and the challah that you did before Yom Tov, right? We know you're allowed to cook before Yom Tov for Shabbos. That's not a problem. We look at it as all one giant cooking, and we don't look at it as you're preparing from one to the other. So if you're in a scenario where Yom Tov falls out of an Erev Shabbos, and you have to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos, you have to make this Erev Tavshilin, this small cooked batch of food, an egg and a piece of challah, or an egg and a piece of matzah, before Yom Tov comes in, and you say this is going to be eaten on Shabbos, and then any cooking that you do on Yom Tov for Shabbos, we look at it as if it's connected to the cooking that you did before Yom Tov, and then that makes the cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos permissible. That's called Erev Tavshilin. So that wraps up our introduction with our four concepts. The concept of cooking on Yom Tov, carrying on Yom Tov, muktzah foods on Yom Tov, and then combining the preparation of Yom Tov foods for Shabbos foods. These are the four different concepts, and throughout the Masechta we'll get into them, you know, in more detail, and we'll get even more clarity on them. But this is the initial intro, and with that in mind, we'll begin tomorrow, the first Mishnah.